This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wa mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From my father, brothers and sisters, we continue with the beautiful seerah of Rasulullah SAW. We are in the 10th year of Hijri. As I said, we are nearing the end of this beautiful journey. Rasulullah SAW also sent Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu to Yemen for da'wah to call the people to Islam. However, he was not very successful. So after 6 months, Rasulullah SAW recalled him and sent Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu in his place. He told him, whoever wants to return with Khalid may do so, and whoever wants to stay with you may do so. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, in front of the tribe of Hamdan, he had them all line up and prayed 2 rakat salah jama'ah, and then he opened the letter and read it out. The entire tribe of Hamdan accepted Islam. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu sent this news to Rasulullah SAW, who made a sajda of shukr, and he said, As-salamu ala Hamdan. He said, may Allah be pleased and peace be upon Al-Hamdan. When Rasulullah SAW sent Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu as a governor and judge to Yemen, he said, I am younger than them. He said, I am a young man, I am younger than the people, and I don't have experience in being a judge. Rasulullah put his blessed hand on the chest of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and he made dua and he said, O Allah, make his tongue firm and guide his heart. O Ali, and then he said to him, O Ali, when the two people in the dispute come, don't judge until you hear from both of them. So he's giving him advice. He's saying, when two people come to you in a dispute, don't make up your mind, don't judge, don't come to a conclusion until you hear from both of them. If you do that, it will be easy for you to judge. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, I was never confused in any judgment after that. He was very famous as a judge, and he was a judge in the times of both Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, who used to trust his judgment completely and totally, and would entrust to him especially complicated and delicate cases, also cases pertaining to powerful people. Interestingly, on a side note, this is something that those who claim that Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma were enemies of Sayyidina Ali, and that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu caused harm to Sayyida Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anha, and so on and so forth, this is something for them to reflect on, that if they were enemies, how come Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu worked in their khilafah as a judge, and they were the khulafa, they were the khalifas. So when he accepted their leadership, today what is our problem? And similarly, another interesting thing was that one of the wives of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was Umm Salama radiallahu anha, who was the daughter of Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anhu. And obviously Sayyidina Ali was alive, he was there, he is the one who permitted Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu to marry his own daughter. Now imagine if all the slander and all the false stories that are made up, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu harmed and attacked caused harm to Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, imagine how would Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu have agreed to have his daughter marry such a man, right? I mean, to say that is really an attack on the honor and the bravery and the waqar of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So this is something that really people who make these claims, they must read some history. And this is not an opinion, this is history, this is a historical fact. Just go look up who were the wives of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and you will find. This is the name of of the daughter of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. How did this happen? Right? Ask this question. Did Sayyidina Ali not only accept the khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, but he worked under them? He worked in their government. He was part of the government. He was a judge under their rule. How did this happen? SubhanAllah. So therefore, you must understand that the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they were closer than brothers. And there is no blame and there is no fault on Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma, because it had there been any fault. I can tell you, it is my iman, it is my respect and the way that I honor Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, there is no way in the world that a man like him would have accepted that. You could have cut off his head, he would not have accepted that. He accepted it because that was the truth. They were honorable people. They did not go back on their word to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were honest people, they were honorable people, they were pious people. And he accepted them, not just as his friends and brothers, but in the case of the government and so on, as his superiors, because they were the khulafa. Anyway, to come back to our story in the seerah, we come to what we know as the farewell hajj, the hajjatul wada. This is also called al-hajjatul islam, because this is the only hajj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did from Medina. So after the hijrah, this is the hajj that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam did from Medina. He made this hajj riding on his camel, and he didn't go with great pomp and splendor. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore encouraged people also to make hajj simple and to use it as a time to reflect on their lives and see what changes they need to make and we need to make. Once some men from Yemen, they passed before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wearing very simple ihrams and riding camels with simple saddles. And he said, if anyone wants to see, some people passed before Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, and they were wearing, these people were from Yemen, and they were wearing very simple clothes and ihrams and riding camels with simple saddles. And he said, if anyone wants to see how Rasulullah and his Sahaba made Hajj, let them look at these people, see these people. When Rasulullah was in Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this famous ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam adina. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. During the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, a Jewish man came to him and he said, Ya Amirul Mumineen, if this ayah had been revealed for us, if it revealed to us, we would have made that day a day of celebration. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, I know when that ayah was revealed. It was revealed in Arafah and it was a Friday. So it was in Hajj and it was a Friday in Arafah. So he said, so we have two reasons to celebrate this ayah. One, that it was revealed on the day of Hajj, and secondly, that it was revealed on the Friday. So Rasulullah delivered his last sermon. It's called Khutbatul Wada. It was not his last sermon, because he, after that, he also did khutab in Medina. But this was it's called the last sermon, because it was his last hajj, the only hajj that he did from Medina, and therefore it was a khutbah there. So it is generally called Khutbatul Wada, the last hajj, a farewell khutbah. And this was on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, 10 years after Hijrah, which is the migration from Makkah to Medina, in the Urana Valley of Mount Arafah. His words were quite clear and concise and were directed towards all of humanity. He said, and this is mentioned in Muslim Imam Ahmad, and of course all the books of hadith and so on and so forth, But this is probably the most detailed version anyway. So he said, "O people, lend me an attentive ear." So he says, this is the meaning of it. "O people, lend me an attentive ear. For I do not know whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again." Meaning, I don't know whether I will come for Hajj again. "Therefore, listen to what I am saying to you very carefully, and take these words to those who could not be present here today. O people, just as you regard this month, this day, this city as sacred, so regard the life and property of every Muslim as a sacred trust. Return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Remember that you will indeed meet your Rabb, and that He will indeed reckon your deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden you to take interest, usury. Therefore, all interest obligation shall henceforth be waived. Your capital, however, is yours to keep. You will neither inflict nor suffer any inequity," meaning injustice. "Allah has judged that there shall be no interest, and that all the interest due to Abbas in Abdul Muttalib, his own uncle, shall henceforth be cancelled, be waived." And remember, this means taking and paying, both. Then he continued, he said, "Beware of Shaitan for the safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things, so beware of following him in small things. O people, it is true that you have certain rights with regard to your women, but they also have rights over you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives only under Allah's trust and with His permission. If they abide by your right, then to them belongs the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. And it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone whom you do not approve of, as well as never to be unchaste. O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say your 5 daily prayers. Fast during Ramadan. And give your wealth in zakat. And perform Hajj if you can afford to." So he's talking about the 5 pillars of Islam. He says, "All mankind is from Adam and Hawa. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab. Nor does a non-Arab have any superiority over an Arab. Also, a white person has no superiority over a black person, nor does a black person have any superiority over a white person, except by piety and good actions. Learn." So he's anti-racism. He's completely canceling all ideas of racial superiority, which is based on color and physical attributes. Then he continues, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that the Muslims constitute one brotherhood. Nothing shall be legitimate to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly. Do not therefore do injustice to yourselves. Remember, one day you will appear before Allah and answer for your deeds. So beware, do not stray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet or apostle, or meaning no Rasul or Nabi, will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well, therefore, O people, and understand words which I convey to you. I leave behind me 2 things, the Quran and my example, the Sunnah. And if you follow these, you will never go astray. All those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those others again and again, and may the last ones understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O Allah, that I have conveyed your message to your people. And this is in Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, and in Musnad, Imam Ahmad, and so on. And so this is the basic gist of the speech of Hajjatul Wada. Towards the end of the speech, Rasulullah ﷺ asked the people, he said, "Have I, O people, have I faithfully delivered unto you my message?" And people all said, "O Allah, yes. O Allah, yes. Allahumma na'am, Allahumma na'am." From thousands of people, and it was like a roll of thunder in the entire valley. Rasulullah ﷺ raised his forefinger and said, and looked up to the sky, and he said, "Be my witness, O Allah, be my witness, O Allah, and that I have conveyed your message to your people." Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Then we come to the famous story of Ghadir Qum. When Rasulullah ﷺ sent Sayyidina Abi Ali bin Abi Talib to Yemen, he had some camels for sadaqah. Some of the people in his army wanted to use those camels for transportation. They asked him, he refused. He then had to travel somewhere, but when he returned, he saw the marks of saddles on the camels, on the camels which had been taken for sadaqah, and he also saw some of the clothing given for sadaqah being worn by some people. So he got angry and ordered everything to be returned. The people did not like that, and someone went to Rasulullah ﷺ and complained. As he was speaking, one of the Sahaba who was sitting with Rasulullah ﷺ kept vehemently agreeing every time the man criticized Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib. Rasulullah ﷺ turned to this man and he said, "Do you dislike Ali?" He said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." Rasulullah ﷺ put his hand on his knee and he said, "You should love Ali." And the man said, "Before that day, Ali was the most hated man for me, and after that day, he became the most beloved to me." On the way back to Medina from Hajj, Rasulullah ﷺ stopped at Ghadir Qum, and that is where he made this famous statement, "Man kuntum mawla fa aliyun mawla." He said, "For anyone to whom I am a friend, Ali is also a friend." Radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah ﷺ did this to clear the air about Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and we quash any rumors about him and to show his status as being his cousin and son-in-law and of his family. And this is also why Sunni Muslims, we also say Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhu. We say radiallahu anhu wa karramallahu wajhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorify his face, meaning that to give him the izzah, because there were people used to curse him and to say things about him which were non-complimentary. And of course, we completely and totally reject any of that. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is the dearest to us, and alhamdulillah, his status, both personally as a person of enormous learning and piety, as well as the cousin and son-in-law of Rasulullah ﷺ, the father of Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, the husband of Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, all of these are fadail of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Wa karramallahu wajhu. We come to the 11th year of Hijrah. Rasulullah ﷺ returned to Medina and spent Muharram and Safar. He appointed Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu as the commander of an army, and sent him to Mu'ta and said to him to step on the place with your horses where your fathers were killed. Now Usama radiallahu anhu was very young at the time, was maybe 18-20 years old, while in his army were Abu Bakr and Umar and other senior Sahaba. So some people objected because of his age, and as also because he was the son of a former slave. He was the son of Zayd bin Haritha, radiallahu anhu. So they objected to free men being under his command. Imagine, even in the life of Muhammad sallam, despite all that he did, there were people who had these prejudices. So it shows us that changing people's mind, changing people's hearts is not an easy thing. It's a very, very difficult thing. We ask Allah to make it easy for us. Even Rasulullah sallam had difficulties. Imagine how difficult it is. Alhamdulillah, he managed it. He was successful eventually. And he created a society where people loved each other only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just so that it is proven to us that it is doable. Nobody said it's easy, but also nobody said it cannot be done, because we have evidence, historical evidence from the seerah, that it can be done, it was done, and therefore it can be done even today if we have the mind to do that. So when this talk of the objections to Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu reached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, if you are disputing his appointment, then you also disputed the appointment of his father before him. In the name of Allah, he, Zayd bin Haritha, was a suitable person to be the leader and was the most beloved person to me. And this man, meaning Usama bin Zayd, is one of the most beloved people to me after him. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is literally sort of giving his endorsement to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, and he says that he is was a beloved person to him. Now this appointment also shows that discipline in Islam is so strong, and that the Amir must be obeyed. The importance of followership. Today we all say we have a lack of leadership. The reality is we don't have a lack of leadership, we have a lack of followership. We just have too many leaders. We have too many people who think that they should be the leader. But we don't have people who say, whoever is the leader, I will follow that leader and support that leader, if necessary, correct the leader, but make sure the leader succeeds, because that way I also succeed. So this is very, very important to understand this. Without this discipline of followership, you cannot have leadership. Second thing is the importance of youth to take responsibility for serious matters of deen. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, the whole seerah is full of these young people who did brilliant and phenomenal things. Take Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, 17, 18 years old, comes and literally, practically all the big sahaba, all the big names in Medina accepted Islam at his hand. When I say big names, I mean with each of them, their whole tribe. For example, Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, his whole tribe, the Aus, accepted Islam because of him, because he accepted Islam, right? Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, his whole tribe accepted Islam because of his accepting of Islam, and so on. Third thing is, also this is a matter of inspiration for all of us, that people took responsibility and they acted with responsibility. And as I said, there are many, many young Sahaba in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who fit this bill, that they were people with this sense of responsibility. As I mentioned, Mus'ab ibn Umair is one. Then there was Bashir radiallahu anhu. He was another fantastic human being and a Sahabi who in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who also as a young person he was given responsibility, he accepted it and he did that. There's Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, who was sent as a governor and judge, qadi to Yemen, and so on. So it's a alhamdulillah, we see this in Islam and in the seerah, that Rasulullah ﷺ always gave the youth a lot of responsibility, and these people also, they fulfill that responsibility. It's not just a matter of saying, you know, give the responsibility. You give the responsibility, and after that, if the responsibility is not fulfilled, then where do you go from there? So that's the also very important for us to understand that, that it's a matter of, you know, it's a two-way street. You get responsibility, then you have to also fulfill the responsibility. All of this has, eventually it boils down to, you know, it boils down to the whole issue of how serious we are with our lives. The one of the things of the Sahaba was that they were so serious and so you know, clear in their minds with regard to their deen, that they invested everything they had in the deen.